Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. We'll look at a couple of verses, beginning in verse number 1 down through verse number 18. Let me again say a warm welcome to all the mothers that are here, all the grandmothers and all the great-grandmothers, and maybe there's even a great-great-grandmother here today. Amen. We're so excited to have you here today as we honor motherhood here at Sharon Baptist Church this day. At the end of the service, we are going to have a drawing. I'm pretty sure most of you by now have gotten a little card. We're going to draw for one of these three baskets down here, and so we're excited to be able to give those away to you. So don't bolt out the door right when the invitation starts. You're going to miss your opportunity to receive that. We'll get you out of here at a decent hour to go home to be with family and friends. And even though we're not having services here this evening, we encourage you to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ wherever you are. You say, well, it's just me and my husband. Well, amen. Be a bold witness to each other then, amen. Practice soul winning on each other, amen. If you're going to go visit mom, you're going to visit your sister or brother-in-law or sister-in-law, listen, you be a witness to them. Share with them the love of Jesus Christ and let them know really just how thankful you are that if someone played the role of a mother or a caregiver for you during these days. So hope you have a great afternoon with the Lord. We look forward to seeing you back again Wednesday for prayer and Bible study time here at Sharon Baptist Church. Well, in today's world, a lot of attention at this point is get played to the stock market. And the truth is, every day the news posts the closing figures at the closing bell. Every day, even CNN, Fox, Newsmax, and all the other ABCs, NBC, CBS, and all the newspapers in the world have a section that they dedicate to the closing stocks and how much they went up or how much they went down. As you think about today, people invest money in the stock market for just one reason. You say, what is that? Well, previously it was maybe to lose money, but now we're in a new golden era, so to speak. Maybe we're going to earn some money, and they invest in the stock market in order that they might get a return on their investment. But of course, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes the stocks don't do well, and sometimes the investors will lose some of their capital. Although I particularly don't invest in stocks, I do actively invest in various aspects of this life. Think about this. Every action, every attitude, and every activity is an investment in something in your life. And one day it will reap dividends, either for the glory of God or to the disappointment of God our Father. I think a wise investor always studies the stocks before investing in the stock market. And the goal really is to optimize the return on their invested funds. Nobody wants to have a 401k that doesn't earn any money. You might as well take the money and put it in the coffee can and put it in your backyard. And so the goal was to optimize the return of your invested funds. Just like those who invest wisely in this life expect a wise and a grand and a genuine investment on their life. I think people who are wise investors of life examine every area of our lives to ensure that they receive the greatest return from their investment. I don't know about you. I don't like to go ahead and invest in something and not get a grand return. So when I want to invest in this life, I want to look at every area of my life to make sure that I'm investing wisely. And this morning, I want to examine a mother who did just that with her life. The Bible tells us her name was Hannah, and she's the mother of the great prophet Samuel. And she made some wise investments that continue to reap dividends even today. And I want to highlight a couple of areas in Hannah's life where she made these wise investments, but not in a stock market, but in the spiritual investments in her life and the life of her family. And I want to encourage everyone this morning, but particularly those mothers that are here, to make the same investments in their life that Hannah made in her life and her family's life. So having said that, then let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. If we're able to stand, please do so. If not, we understand. We'll then pray, asking God to be my helper and to you to be hearers of the Word of God as I preach this message that God has placed upon my heart for us today, entitled Hannah's Wise Investment. Notice what the Bible says. And now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zu, an Ethrolite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she proved her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And not I better to thee than 10 sons? And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And it was in the bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt thou give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. And so the woman went her way and did, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful story of Hannah and Samuel. Oh, Father, I pray as we would look at this wise investment of this great mother, Hannah, Father, and her son Samuel and their family, Lord, I pray that we would draw some conclusions to our own life as well today, that whether mother or father, a man or woman or teenager, here, our young child, Father, that we would learn to understand this, that we need to make some wise investments right now in our lives. So, Father, I pray for someone who could be here today, does not know Christ as their own personal Savior. Father, may they be saved today. May they come to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that they might be saved. And if they'll place their faith and trust in Him, they too could be saved and on the way to heaven. So, Father, bless now this time of preaching. We ask you to challenge hearts, Father. Anoint these lips of clay. Be a help to this preacher. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to see, first of all, the first wise investment that Hannah made, and it was to her family. It was to her family. And even though the circumstances that Hannah was living in was not the very best, we do understand this, that Hannah invested her life in her family, and she persevered to make the family life as best as she could do. Notice in verse number 1 and 2, we find the difficulty. So right from the get-go, we learn that Hannah was married to a man that had two wives. Verse number 1 tells us that Hannah's husband was a man by the name of Elkanah. And verse number 2 tells us this, that he had two wives. In my opinion, that's nothing short of a disaster. Thank God for my wife. I love her and she loves me, but I can't imagine having two. I can't imagine people that have multiple wives. I don't know how they do it. I'd go crazy, amen. But we find that it was a disaster just waiting to happen. But Hannah wasn't looking for a way out of these marriages. She stayed in the family. She worked to make the best of a very bad situation. You know what? God never had told us that the family is going to be an easy place to live in. I know what you're thinking. Tell me something I don't already know. I'm not even a mother. I'm a father. I'm just a young person. I understand this and know that a family can be a very difficult place to live in. But families, although it might be a difficult place to live in, it ought to be a wonderful place for children to grow up in. Every one of them is filled with people. And because they're filled with people, guess what? It creates a potential to have problems and trials and troubles inside that family. Guess what? There's going to be disagreements and there's going to be trouble. But here's the key. When you come to those troubles, when you come to those disagreements, you face that trouble head on. In other words, we could put it this way, we can learn like Hannah, and we can learn to invest in our families regardless of the difficulties our families may bring us. You know, I think about in the world we live in today, it's gotten very easy for the people today to walk away from their families, and really easy today for people to walk away from their marriages in our society today. We have a no-fault divorce that costs almost nothing to file for. I see it all the time. Divorce, $199 complete. Divorce, $299 complete. Marriage vows used to be this, for better or for worse, and now it seems like the marriage vows go something like this. It's till the next best thing shows up, or until I get tired of you. God's people need to learn that marriage and family are lifetime investments, not something to be tossed aside when it's inconvenient or when times get difficult, because there always will be difficult times in marriage. There'll always be inconvenient times in marriages. There'll always be troubles in families and marriages. And so we have to learn to work through those problems and those trials in our life. Well, we understand that Hannah invested in spite of the difficulties in her family, but notice something else. She invested in her family in spite of the discouragement found in verses 5 and verse number 6. You see, her husband's other's wife, Penaniah, had children, but guess what? The Bible said that Hannah was barren. And so Penaniah used Hannah's infertility to mock her. As a matter of fact, she mocked her so much, she made her life miserable. And she was emotionally upset about this mocking that was made of her. Notice in verse number 6, the Bible said, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret." That word provoked, it means to be angry, to be vexed, to be indignant, wroth or grieved, or to provoke to anger and wrath. That word fret kind of implies this thought. It caused Hannah to be troubling, or caused her to tremble. So she was so upset that she was trembling, and it caused her to tremble. This was a very serious situation between Hannah and Penaniah. It all stems from Penaniah's jealousy of Hannah. And so verse 5 tells us that Elkanah loved Hannah. Notice what it says. "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." Apparently, Hannah must have been Elkanah's favorite wife. And he showed it by going to the feast year after year and giving her a greater portion. Penaniah, on the other hand, provided Elkanah with something Hannah could not, and that was children. And although she used this as leverage in the household to mock Hannah, understand this, that all this criticism, all this belittling made life nearly impossible for Hannah in that household. But nevertheless, she didn't give up. Hannah kept investing in the family. And I thought, what a testimony today of a lady without children that was willing to stay and be with her family. I wish God's people today would have that same kind of testimony. Well, we see that Hannah invested in spite of her difficulty. She invested in spite of her discouragement. But notice verses 5 and 6. She invested in spite of her desperation. These verses tell us this, that the Lord had shut up her womb. And this was a situation that was of the Lord's will. We find that God's hand was upon Hannah, and he had closed up her womb. I think what Hannah didn't realize was that God ultimately had a plan for her. His plan wasn't to hurt Hannah. God's plan was to bless Hannah. Understand this, that all of God's plans, whether we understand them or not, are for our good and his honor and his glory. I think if there's one thing that you and I need to learn from this, it's simply this. Why don't we just let God be God and let God do his thing in and through us? I'm reminded of Jeremiah 29 in verse number 11, where the Bible says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It might seem to you that the investments that you make in your family aren't yielding the immediate results like you want. And no doubt it was the same way with Hannah. It may seem that your spouse and your children aren't quite what you planned for. They're not quite what you prayed for or even hoped that they would be. And if that's the case, let me encourage you this morning just to keep investing just like Hannah did. Listen, the closing bell hadn't rung yet, amen. And stock market is not closed. The spiritual investment time period hasn't closed yet. Your family is too important for you to stop investing in them right now. It may feel as though you're constantly giving while receiving nothing back in return. But for those who make wise investments in their families, the dividends are going to come at a very unexpected time and in some great and marvelous way that only God will reveal to you. I want you to be encouraged this morning, moms and dads, to just keep investing. Well, not only did Hannah invest in her family, but then we find something else. We find, secondly, she invested in her faith. By all accounts, Hannah was a family person. You can look at her life, you can read about her, and understand that she was a family type of person. Family was important to her. But not only was family important to her, Hannah's faith was just as important as well. So let's see how Hannah made a very wise investment by faith. Notice in verse number 10 and 11, she invested by faith, first of all, in a personal way in verses 10 and verse number 11. In these verses, I see a woman who literally knew the Lord on a personal basis. She had a personal relationship with God her Father. Notice what it says in verse 10. When she was, the Bible says, in bitterness of soul, according to verse number 10, we find her to begin praying, having a personal conversation with God, and crying out to God. Verse 10 puts it this way, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. You see, she had a personal relationship with God the Father. Everything that was happening was weighing heavy upon Hannah, was weighing heavily on her heart. The adversity that she was experiencing from her sister wives, so to speak, was just coming down upon her. She was not able to have any children, but she realizes this. If anything is going to be done, it's going to be done through the Lord. He's the one that's going to have to do it. Hannah was a mother who knew the Lord in a personal way. Let me ask you, moms and dads, do you know the Lord in a personal way this morning? Hannah's faith led her to trust in the Lord. I wonder this morning, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Understanding this, that we all are sinners, and because of that sin nature that we are born with, that we are destined for that terrible place called hell, but Jesus Christ allowed His Son to be born and to die on Calvary's cross to take our death, our hell, and our grave on the cross to pay that sin debt for you and I. If we but by faith believe in Him and trust in Him as our personal Savior. Hannah's faith led her to trust in the Lord. And now speaking about faith, I mean genuine trust. Not the superficial kind of versions many people have today. Too many people today say they have faith, but there's no fruit in their life. There's no demonstration of faith. There's no obedience to God and God's word. There's just a lot of talking from their lips, but no walk from their feet. I'm talking about a personal walk with God. Hannah had that personal walk with God. Do you have that same personal walk with God? Well, she invested in a personal way. But then notice in verses 10 through verse number 18, we find that she invested in a practical way, a practical way. Listen, Hannah just didn't talk about it. As a matter of fact, she lived her life a demonstration of the faith that she placed in God. I'm reminded of James chapter 2 and verse 18, where the Bible says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You see, works don't save, but a saved man works. And so we understand this, that Hannah's life was demonstration of her faith and by her works. We find her that she was demonstrating her dependence upon God by living her faith. And even here we see the adversity continue as Eli, the high priest, begins to think that Hannah is drunk. Notice verses 13 and 14. And Eli thought she had been drunken. And verse 14, and Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." But notice she speaks up and says, "Not so," in verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord." Hannah knew that things were going to change in her life. She understood this, that God would be the one that would have to do it. I wonder sometimes why you and I can't get that light bulb to pop on in our brain. Listen, you want change in our life? Pour your heart and soul out to God. And understand this, that you probably can't affect the change, but God can affect the change. That's what Hannah knew. She understood that. She was being belittled. She was being mocked. She didn't have any child, and she knew that there was nothing she could do about that situation. But then she knew the one who could. So she got right to and began earnestly praying for her child. Let me ask you this question today, moms and dads. Do you know the Lord like Hannah knew the Lord? Why, when things aren't going your way, do you stop and pray? Do you weep? Or do you complain before God? I think for most of us, what happens is this. When things aren't going our way, we begin to complain, don't we? And we say, "Oh God, I gave my tithe this week. Why is this happening? We need the money to pay the mortgage. Our cars broke down. The family relationships are in turmoil," and begin to complain. But that's not what Hannah did. She didn't complain not one time. The Bible says she went to prayer before God and she wept sore, giving us the indication that her tears were just a result of the emotion that she was crying out to God, begging God to be a help to her. When things aren't going your way, do you complain or do you pray? Well, we find that Hannah invested in faith in a personal way, in a practical way, but then notice something else. We see that this personal and practical faith has demonstrated her faith in a very profound way. Look at verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head." I think more than anything else in this world, Hannah wanted a child. And listen, she wanted a child for herself. She was a young lady that desired to have children. But I think this too. I think she desired to have a child because she knew that her husband desired a child. And she longed to experience that joy of motherhood. And she knew this was impossible without the work of God in her life. So what she did? She placed her faith in God for the impossible and vowed to offer the incredible in return if God would hear and God would answer her prayer. What did she do? She asked God for a son and then promised to give him that son back for God's honor and for his glory. What a statement she makes. How many mothers today would say, God, if you'll just give me a man-child, I'll give him back to you as soon as he's weaned. I don't think many of us would make a promise like that today. Most of the parents today are worried to say this, God, here's my child. Would you take my child and use him for your honor and glory? And God, if you desire him to be a missionary, that's fine. A preacher, that's fine. A pastor's wife or a Christian school teacher. We're afraid to do that. And my friend, we understand this, that Hannah was not afraid. And she said, God, if you'll give me that man child, I'll return him back to you, that she might raise them for God's honor and for his glory. You know, by the way, parents, the children that God has given you, they're not your children, really. They're God's heritage, the Bible says. They belong to him. You're just a caretaker for him. So how are you doing in raising up God's children? We see that, thirdly, that Hannah had a very deep faith. And this faith of Hannah's is so deep, it's rarely even seen in our churches today. And what a blessing it is when we come to a place where we can believe God for the impossible. This was an impossibility that she asked God for, but she had faith, and she understood that if it was going to happen, God was going to do it, and then willingly give everything to him for his honor and for his glory, should God see fit to answer that prayer. That's the kind of faith that God is looking to develop inside you and inside me today. Let me ask you this question. Is that the kind of faith that you have that believes God for the impossibility of things in your life? And by the way, is that the kind of faith God honors? God honors that faith. Look at verse 19. At the end of verse 19, the Bible said, and the Lord remembered her. What does that mean, he remembered her? God heard her weeping. He heard her sorrow. He saw the turmoil and the trouble that she was going through. And God remembered her and gave her that son. Well, not only did Hannah invest in her family and faith, but then also notice something else. She invested in her future. So Hannah saw the possibilities of what could be if God got involved in this family situation. Get this now. Hold on to this. Notice the length of Hannah's commitment. She committed him to the Lord before he was even conceived. In verse number 11, I'll remind you, it says, But wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life. So before that Samuel was conceived inside Hannah, she already had committed him to God. Hannah made that ultimate commitment a mother can make. She gave her child to the Lord. She held nothing back. But then we find she dedicated him to the Lord when he was born. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. And then she gave him to the Lord just as soon as he was weaned. You see, how long was that? Well, in the Old Testament days, they weaned their babies a little later than most modern mothers do today. Sometimes two, sometimes three. There was no time period. But verse 24 says this, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, took him up with her to the temple. Therefore also I have led him to the Lord in verse 28. Get this now, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. You see, Hannah's wasn't a momentary commitment to God like some of us have made. We've made momentary commitments. We'd say, okay, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And God sees fit to go ahead and take care of that. And for a moment, a month or two or 3 months or 4 months, you live for God, you do what you promised, but guess what? You begin to fade away and not do what you promised God. But we find that Hannah made a one-time commitment from which she never looked back. From pre-birth to birth to after the weaning, we find that she made that one-time commitment and she never looked back on what she promised God. We find that she sowed seeds that will be reaped for generations to come. By the way, Galatians 6:7 tells us this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we understand this morning that Hannah made a wise investment in the future. Moms, I want you to imagine how hard it must have been to leave Samuel at 2 or 3 years of age and leave him there to the high priest Eli. Imagine how much he must have anticipated those yearly trips to go sacrifice and to visit her son. Imagine the heartbreak as she had to leave year after year after year to go back home to care for her husband and her family. But imagine as well the blessings that as she watched him develop into the great man of God. 1 Samuel 2 verse 26 tells us this. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord but also with men. You see, she literally was seeing this investment, this lifetime investment being paid off. It had been worth all the sacrifices, all that she gave up, seeing him grow up in childhood, all the heartache as she left the tabernacle each and every day, year to go back home. It's been worth the sacrifice. That's the kind of commitment God is seeking from moms and dads today. He wants us to totally invest in the lives of our children, a lifetime commitment. He wants us to give all that we have. He wants to give all that we are without holding anything back from them. He desires a once and for all commitment to your children for His honor and for His glory. Let's apply it to our lives today. Some of us have children who need to be placed at the altar this morning. How long has it been since you come before the Lord with broken hearts, agonizing and weeping as Hannah did over your wayward children? Perhaps they're out there today because of the inconsistencies they may have observed in your life as you raised your child up. Maybe they're there because they just flat out rejected the faith that you exhibited to them, that you taught them. It doesn't matter why they are there, really. They need someone praying for them. We need moms and dads who will be broken over their children, who will bring their children to God's altar, trusting Him to work and touch in their lives. Well, the length of her commitment was for as long as he liveth. But then notice, secondly, the life of her child. You see, Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. And by the grace of God, the Bible tells us he became a mighty man of God. He was a prophet of God. He set a standard of righteousness for the nation of Israel. He was a man that was greatly used by God. He was a man who anointed David to be king over the nation of Israel. He was a man who served as a spiritual leader for the nation of Israel for many years until they rejected the prophet and wanted a king of their own. You see, Samuel was the man that he was because of the involvement his mother made in his life before his birth and even after his birth. He was the man that he was because of she made the kind of investment that an entire nation was blessed for many, many years to come. You see, Hannah's investment in Samuel continued to reap dividends even until this day. You see, when someone is helped, when someone is fed, when someone is challenged or blessed through this life story here and the life of Samuel, the investments are still being reaped today. You see, Hannah's investment in Samuel continued to live long after she died. Those are the kind of dividends that all of us want to reap. Well, let's think about this. Some of you are making the same kind of investments in the future today. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with your neighbor's children. Perhaps it's with your grandchildren. Maybe you faithfully bring your children to the house of God on Sundays morning and Sunday night and Wednesdays. You bring them when it isn't easy. You bring them even when it's not convenient for you to do so. But you're instilling into them this idea that God's house is a very important place that we ought to be. You're teaching them that right and wrong does matter, irregardless of what the world teaches them. You're teaching about Jesus Christ and his salvation for them, that one day they'll have to place their faith and trust in what he's done for them on the cross of Calvary. You're teaching them the important biblical lessons from life. They're learning lessons oftentimes from watching and hearing about your faith. You may look at your children and your grandchildren, the neighbors all around you. You may be thinking that, listen, that you're not seeing, they're not seeing much from you. You may be thinking that they're not getting the message. But one day you'll see that these wise investments will yield some rewards in these children's life. So I encourage you this morning to continue investing. I encourage you this morning to continue to be faithful as Hannah was, and the Lord will bless your efforts for his honor and for his glory. Well, as we close this morning, Hannah made the right investments, number one, in her family, in her faith, but thank God for the future as well. And she showed a remarkable life of faith that truly stands out among other Bible characters in the Word of God. But what she did ought to challenge moms and dads, ought to challenge boys and girls and teenagers today, ought to challenge us today. And the question I have for you today is, what kind of investments are you making in the lives of all those that are around you today? Whether you know it or not, you invest in their lives each and every day that you live. What kind of dividends will those investments pay out in return? I think the good news about spiritual investments is simply this. If you've invested in the wrong stocks, God will allow you to change your investments, how they are distributed, beginning today. If you notice that there's some area that requires attention in your life, the place to make the changes right is right here today at this altar. Some of you have children you need to bring to the altar this morning. Some have parents and family members and brothers and sisters who need to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Why not come this morning and make an investment this morning? Maybe there's others here today and you would say, Pastor, I've been foolish in the investments of my life. I wasted the resources the Lord has given me and your portfolio looks pretty bad right now. Why not come and just liquidate those junk stocks and those junk bonds that you've been investing in? And maybe you need to come and invest your resources in something that will reap a great harvest for the Lord and for your family. Still yet, maybe there's others that are here that do not have a relationship with the Lord. I invite you to come to Him today and begin a new life with God, trusting in Him as your personal Savior. If he's spoken to your heart today in any way, shape, or form, don't turn away from him. I want you to receive him today. Trust him today. I think this morning, we could put it this way. This morning, I want you to do something different. Get to the altar and have an encounter with God. Hannah was a wise investor. I wonder if the same could be said about you. She invested in her family. She invested in her faith. And she invested in her future. How about you? Would you be willing to make an investment for all eternity this morning? Let's pray.